Awesome. Wow. I feel like I could leave right now, and I've been in church. Man, what is it about kids that get a hold of your heart? It's just totally, really amazing. And we're so thankful for all of our precious guests and great visitors, and hope you're having as much fun as we are. I think it'd be appropriate to have the First Lady just have a word of greeting. She announced the winner of the contest, and I wanted to just shout and carry on and dance about because I knew what kind of contest that was and how hard it was to beat the ladies. We have the most awesome women in this church. I'm telling you, fabulous ladies in this church. And you put up a war. I mean, if we beat you, it was because we just had to really, really work at it. And we had a little secret program going. I don't want to talk about that. Okay. Anyhow, strategies, secret strategies. But we're so proud of all of our precious ladies and proud of our men as well. God bless Sister Meadows, our First Lady.
Well, I love being in church, but especially at Christmas and Easter. They are special holidays for our church. And the fact that he rose again, it's incredible. But he not only did that for us, he comes in and gives each one of us a personal resurrection, a new life to make up for the mess we made of the one we had on our own. And I am so thankful I have a resurrected God who has resurrected Cindy Meadows, because without him, I'm not worth much. But with him, I am so excited about everything. He makes life worth living on purpose. And I love him, and I'm so glad to have all of you. Bless you.
Praise God. What a lady, huh? What a dynamo. Carolyn, it's so good to have you with us. So honored to have you with us. Such a gift of hospitality that they have at their house. I've been there already twice. Every time I come by your house, I just have such a good time. And talking to the girls the other day and talking to Johnny. And just wonderful people. Good to have Nathan with us that was with us this morning. I think he's still with us. Thank you for inviting him, Ember. Wonderful young man. Pastor Myers' son. Tony, the golfer's with us today. Praise God. And so it's always special to have Tony with us. Kaylee and Avery's mom. And Dad, I believe, with this, praise God, and just so many. I'm just trying to, Aaron, I was teasing Aaron about reading on Facebook his sports passion, and I was just telling him a little secret that I have a lot of that same passion. I just don't let everybody know about it until I play volleyball, and then they find out, you know, how much passion we have for sports. But it's great to see everybody, and some of you that were sick, you fought your way through it, and you came to church anyhow, and that's just amazing. It really, really is. Would you like to stand and let's open our Bibles for just a few minutes? I'm going to try to make this maybe a little briefer, God willing. We've had such a full afternoon already. We're turning to John, the 20th chapter. Thank you, Brother Kitar, so much. Casey, what a great job. Oh, man, Youth Catalyst class. Oh, my lands. That was dynamic. Man, I can stand some more of this singing here soon. We've got to figure out a way to get everybody back to minister again. John chapter 20, of course, in the Gospels, a number of accounts of this thing we call resurrection, and this is one of my favorite accounts of it. This man, John, had a very special relationship with Jesus, and actually, this comes out in this story as well. If you would just follow along with us, John 20, and verse number 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's a reference to himself. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. Again, a reference to himself. Verse 5, and he stooping down, somebody say stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, again a reference to himself, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their home. Verse 11. But Mary, now we read about her in verse number 1. Remember that? Mary Magdalene? We read about her again. In other words, she's back. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Verse 12, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, and this is the same question that the angels said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. Ladies and gentlemen, he was the gardener of the universe. Okay? And we're his plants. And once in a while he comes by and pulls up a few weeds. I'm sorry. That's extra. Okay. I'm sorry. Supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. In verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, he just called her name, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Isn't that beautiful? Let's pray together, and I want to talk to you about staying, stooping, and seeing. Staying, stooping, and seeing. Because I see this woman doing these three things, and something very amazing happened to her. Let's have Brother Kitar pray for us that God would somehow use his word to speak to us.
Father, your word is the most potent, most powerful force in the universe. Thank you, God, for the wonderful opportunity and privilege, oh God, to hear your word today. Lord, I ask that your anointing flow in this house today, God. Cause our ears to hear and our hearts open and our minds and our spirits to receive what you have for us today, God. Lord, receive all the glory and praise today in this house. In Jesus' name, do your work mightily, O God, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Would you give the Lord a praise offering? Just a praise offering. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Again, thank you so much for being with us today. We are so greatly honored. Starting out reading this first verse or two of chapter 20 of John to realize that this lady, Mary Magdalene, who had been touched by Jesus and actually delivered of seven devils. Seven devils had been cast out of her before we ever got to this story. But the fact that she went when it was yet dark to a tomb, I don't know how that hits you. I think that I'm probably not famous for my fear, but I don't really like hanging out at cemeteries at night. I'm not into hanging out at cemeteries at night. She had the audacity and the courage to do something that was difficult in itself. When it was dark, she went to the tomb. And when she saw, the Bible says, she seeth the stone taken away. Somebody several years ago did a Greek study of those words about that stone, and what they discovered was it was not just a stone. It was a huge, the Greek words there, the original language of the New Testament, it was a huge boulder. That's why she said, and they have taken. She knew it would have taken several people to have moved that boulder. Of course, compared to the Rock of Ages inside, that boulder was just a pebble. Amen. So, she sees the the stone, the boulder has been moved and knows that something has happened. And so she takes off. She runs. Instead of staying there and finding out anything more, she gets so excited, she tears out of there. Have you ever just had an experience that God did something for you and you just got so on fire about it? You just took off. You just wanted to, you know, and grabbed your phone, or you took off to the mall to visit. You wanted to see your friends, and you wanted to call your mother-in-law. You know, that's a miracle all by itself. And tell her that God has touched you and share your miracle. I feel like in prayer, I've read this story before, but this week, especially the early hours of this morning, I was reading this story over and over again, and somehow this is what I saw. I saw that in many ways, this Mary Magdalene is just like you and just like me. It is easy to worship in this service because I know what He's delivered me from. It is easy to praise Him today because this is not a denominational thing to me. It's a personal thing. It's a personal deliverance that He gives us, a personal miracle. This lady had experienced the power of God. That's why it was easy to go someplace in the dark she wouldn't have normally have gone. There are times that you and I are called by the Lord to step into situations, and we wouldn't normally do that. But because He has touched us and changed us and broken some chains off of us, it's easy to go some places today and speak to some people we'd never dream of that we'd be speaking to because God's power has been on our life. Would you raise your hand and give God an amen? Oh man, isn't that the truth? Hallelujah. I was standing in gas stations today telling people, He is risen. He is risen. They looked at me so strange. I have so much fun on any given day. But anyway, I was telling them, I've been there. I've been to the tomb, and I have. And ladies and gentlemen, it is empty. I've stood inside that tomb. It is empty. I've been to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, and I will never forget that day. And the presence of God that came down and overshadowed that unbelievable experience, the Jews praying there at the Wailing Wall. He is risen. Oh, praise God. I think that Mary is symbolic of a lot of people that God does a little something for. You know what the Lord does? Sometimes He just touches us before He changes us. Sometimes He does a little something just to show us how real He is, but it's not the whole bonanza. It's not the whole truckload. It's just a little teaspoon. But He wants us to know how real He is. She saw the stone moved, and she knew that that was a big deal. And instead of staying at first, she took off to tell somebody before she found out what Paul Harvey would call the rest of the story. When she talks to Simon, Peter, and John and brings them, she had to get them there as well. I lived like this for many years on a little shallow experience. But it was real. You know, puppy love is real to puppies. You understand what I'm saying? I lived 8 years old. I had my first repentance experience. It wasn't the whole package, but it was something. I never want to discount what God has done for people. He doesn't want to take away what He's done for. He just wants to build on it. And for 6 years, I tore off. I left the tomb. I was telling people, you know, I'm talking to people about Jesus, and all that I had was a repentance experience. But it was real. And I lived 6 years on just a piece of the experience that God wanted me to have. It wasn't long as I got into my teen years that I ran out of gas, man. I ran out of steam. I ran out of power. Anybody been there where you realize that He's touched you, but He hasn't changed you yet? I believe that's why He said in Acts 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I remember Joe. So great to have Joe with us too. Oh my. I remember going to junior high school and sitting in those classes, and I had just enough of God to know that I wasn't quite right, but I wasn't what I used to be, but I wasn't what I was supposed to be, and I was caught betwixt the two. And I remember as a smart aleck junior high school student praying and thinking, I've got to change myself. I am not what I should be. And I would get in fights and had a lot of stuff that I got involved in. But before I got as far into the teen years as I could have, a young couple came to our house. And I'm telling you, this young couple, they were full of the Holy Spirit. They radiated the love of God. They radiated the power of God. Brother and sister Alan Abbey knocked on our door and came in, sat down, and we sat down, and I distinctly felt something unique in the room. And they started talking about a Bible study. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd lived 6 years on a piece. I was like Mary. I found out a little and took off to tell the story, only I didn't know the whole story. They presented the idea, we're going to come here once a week, and for about 45 minutes, we're going to have a little Bible study. And I thought, oh, great. Boring, boring, boring. And the reason why I thought that was, every morning, my dad would get us up, pull out the family Bible, which was big enough to choke a Tyrannosaurus Rex, open that big, humongous family Bible, and read something. This was his Bible study. This was his idea of Bible study. He would read a few verses. He'd look at us and say, anybody know what that means? Everybody was quiet. Nobody knew what it meant. Okay, let's go to work. And we go to the construction site. That was our Bible study. So living for 6 years on a repentance experience like Mary, finding out a little and taking off, these guys brought this Bible study. But I wasn't really excited about it. And before they left, some of you have heard me share this, before they left our living room, they said, could we have a word of prayer? Well, you're not going to say to somebody, no, you can't pray. I don't think you're going to. I mean, most folks wouldn't. Oh, sure, if you want to say a little prayer. Well, they humbled their hearts, and if I remember right, they both got down on their knees. And they prayed a prayer that raised like goosebumps on my neck. They prayed such a sincere, anointed prayer, I thought, oh, my lands. There's a proverb that says, he who mounts tiger cannot always choose where he dismounts. You ever heard that one? I felt like I was on the back of a tiger. Man, they're like, oh, my lands. I've never heard anybody pray like that in my life. It's like something went through the room, like the touch of Jesus just went through the room. They began to come every week and present us that Bible study. I had known a little. I had run off and began to talk to people like Mary. But when I came back to the book, you know, the neat thing about Mary is she went to tell Simon, Peter, and John, but Mary came back. And it doesn't tell us a lot about what she was doing until it gives us the account of what Simon, Peter, and John did. They had a brief encounter there with an empty tomb. Evidently, John, the beloved, writing of himself, was fast, but Peter was bolder. So they got there. And then Simon Peter goes in because even though John beat him there, Simon Peter was famous for being very bold. They see what's there, the clothes, the napkin, so on. And then they leave. And then all of a sudden we realize Mary came back. This is such a picture of you and me. We heard a little bit. We ran off and got excited. And God would like to say, come back to my word. I've got some more for you. I've got some, come back to my altar. Come back to my presence. I've got some more. You got a piece of it, and it's real what you got. If it's repentance or whatever we've lived on for many years, we thank God for that experience. But come back to the book, because Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In other words, what you got is real. If you have a believing experience, if you have a repentance experience, never discount it. Just don't think that you've got it all. Woo! This is what I felt in prayer as I read this story again. So many of us are like Mary. We've run off to tell the story, only we don't even have the complete story. But it was when she came back. Ladies and gentlemen, this Jesus of Nazareth had delivered her. She came back and she stayed. There's a little verse of scripture in Psalms 91 verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Not he who just visits or he who plays tourist. But he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When she came back to see and hear the rest of the story, something miraculous happened because she had the audacity to come back and stay. She stood, she stayed. Watch this. And she stooped. She was so broken. Best friend in the whole world. And he was dead. At least she thought he still was. Greatest thing that had ever happened to her was now gone. At least she thought he was. And she's so broken. You know, I think one of the greatest battles that we have in our hearts is the sense of loss. That's what overwhelmed her. I've lost him. He's gone. Not realizing that something had happened in the intervening hours. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Woo, I am the resurrection and the life. Then he came to give a demo. Amen. Did you hear about the guy that was called to preach the funeral? And his pastor was out of town? Brother Katari, you know, he thought, I don't know how to preach a funeral. Oh, he thought, this is what he thought. He thought, I'll go to my Bible and I'll see how Jesus preached funerals. And then I'll take his example and I'll bring it to the funeral and I'll preach like. So he began to ransack the Gospels and he discovered something. He discovered that Jesus never preached funerals, but he did preach resurrections. I want to tell you something. Some of you, the hand of God has been on your life for many years, and maybe you walked away, but the resurrection and the life is in this room, and his call is on your life, and you've got a piece of it, but he wants you to come and stay. He wants you to come and hang around an empty tomb, and hang around a miracle, and hang around a resurrection. Lift your hands and let's love on God right now, would you? With me, oh God, we worship you. Thank you, Lord. You are the great God. Hallelujah. You are the great God. All things are possible to you, Lord. Amen. She came back. She had that brief encounter in verses 1 and 2. And went to get Simon Peter and John. And we don't realize that she came back with them because she did. Because it tells us that after they left, they had a brief time there. And then they were gone. But she stayed. I want to tell you a little secret about Jesus. It's the people who stay. It's the people who don't give up easily. It's the people who don't quit easily. There's going to be extra glory and extra miracles and the blessing of God on people who don't just touch base with God once a decade and then disappear. His call is on your life. His hand has been on your heart. His voice has come to you in the night seasons. And he knows that he's done something for you, but he's got more in the package that's been paid for. If you dare hang around an empty tomb. Oh, hallelujah. Let's love on him right now. Would you with me? I give you praise, Lord. I give you praise. Cast not away. I think of the scripture often. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience. that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Listen to this. I don't know if you ever heard of this place in the Alps. Every year, thousands of people climb a mountain in the Italian Alps, and they pass what they call the Stations of the Cross to stand at an outdoor crucifixion. But one particular day, a tourist noticed that there was a little trail that led, seemed to go just a little beyond the cross. He fought through the brush, and to his surprise, came upon another shrine, a shrine that symbolized the empty tomb. It was neglected. The brush had grown up around it. Almost everyone had gone as far as the cross, but that was where they stopped. There was another trail. I want to tell you this. If you've been to Calvary, I'm thankful. It's real. God touched you. Don't throw it away. Don't sit on it. Celebrate it. But there's another trail that leads a little higher. We cannot, you cannot, I cannot stop at Calvary. I must go a little bit further because there is an experience that God wants us to have. But if the Spirit, capital S, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Sister Metis, come here. This is not in my notes. We were having some meetings in the basement of a house, and Bobby was a college kid, and Bobby didn't know if this God thing was real. And I remember, Sister Metis, stand up here, and you were, if I remember this right, this particular service, you were praying for Bobby. And as you were praying for him, you started speaking in the Spirit. Now, I've had 2 years of Spanish. Es una lengua muy importante porque hay mucha gente acerca de la ciudad que hablan. Important language because many people speak it around town. But she doesn't know any Spanish. You're praying with Bobby. Do you remember what happened?
He just said he understood what I was saying.
He stopped and said he was shaking. Yes. This young man that didn't know if this God thing was real. He stopped and he looked at her and said, I understand what you're saying. You're speaking in Spanish. Ladies and gentlemen, my wife doesn't know any Spanish. My daughter does. I do. My brother does. But she don't know nothing about Spanish.
Yeah, hands were shaking. Just crazy.
Like that shaking. Greenville, Tennessee, where Amber was born, not too long after that. But Bobby's standing there not knowing if God is real. And he hears a lady pray in a language that he understood. But she didn't even know what she was saying. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture is real. There is more for you. God doesn't want to just give you a piece. He wants to give you the whole package. He doesn't want you to have just a little thumbnail of it. He wants to give you the whole handful. Praise God. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. People say, oh, that tongues thing, that's just gibberish. I was preaching in Indianapolis at the little church there that seats about 3,000. Actually, I was leading the worship at a conquest meeting. And the lady that runs the tape service came up and told me she was of Polish extract. She said, you were speaking Polish on the platform. Do you know the only word that I know in Polish? Sausage. I know a little French. I know a little Yugoslavian. I know some Spanish. But that, I know no words in Polish. She said, you were speaking in Polish on the platform. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost is real. It's a real experience. And if we're not careful, we just run and see that the tomb is empty and the boulders rolled away. And then we run off and tell people what we saw. But God wants us to come back. Come back and hang around the empty tomb and understand that there's something else He wants you to experience. He wants you to have your own personal Easter. He wants you to experience the resurrection power. Woo, come on now. Jesus' name. So she came back. The Scripture says she stood, and we know she stayed, and then she stooped. Sometimes, and I'm almost done, sometimes in God's rich grace, He allows He might step back and allow me or you to go through something that we would never choose. In her brokenness, I'll never forget it. I'm coming back from burying my father-in-law in St. Louis, getting ready to come up into the Blue Ridge Mountains, and I got a phone call from my brother Gary. Now, I've just buried my father-in-law, and my brother Gary tells me that our mother has been in a head-on car collision. This is before I get home from burying my father-in-law. Those 2 weeks, we had five tragedies. Amber was in a car wreck. There were five distinct different things that happened that were of tragic nature in 2 weeks. I want you to know something. Some of us have been through some stuff, but God is with you. And if you'll hang around the empty and understand, there's more to learn. There's more to experience. Don't just run off and talk about the little you got. He wants you to come back and hang around his presence and hang around his power and hang around his touch. Because Easter is not about dead, dry, formal churches. It is about the power of God, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. I have felt the power of God in this room. Would you lift your hands and praise God with me right now? Oh, hallelujah. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. So, they brought these truths to us. You know what I did? I wasn't raised in this. I was taught that this is all not legitimate. And then I had to stoop down to find out it was. Sister Elba, Brother Aaron, we got to a certain point in that Bible study where they thought, you know what? I'm seeing things I've never seen before. I'm not qualified to do anything in the kingdom. I'm so dumb. I'm seeing things I've never studied before. Am I saying it right, Aaron?
That is absolutely correct.
And that they look like they walked out of a catalog. They look so sharp. They're business people. They're wonderful people. And they knew a lot. And they had a wonderful experience. And God didn't take that away. He didn't even make fun of it. He just came and built on top of it. Oh, praise God. And here they are. And Aaron said yesterday at that barbecue party, oh, man, what I've been thinking is, this is the way church is supposed to be, man. This is the way it's supposed to be. Move of the Holy Ghost, blessing of God, joy in the Spirit, supernatural answers to prayer. See, we got to come back like Mary. Instead of a little brief visit like Simon Peter and John, we got to hang around Jesus for a while. Because here's what happened. When she stooped, she saw two angels. Not just one, two. When she stooped, when she bowed herself, God gives us all the opportunities. It's different times in different places of pain and sorrow, wrestling and struggle. He gives us the opportunity to stoop again. Because if we'll do that, we'll see the angel. Isn't that something? This is what he dealt with me about. This story about Mary comprises the four levels of religious experience that people fall into. Level number one, she knew when she visited the tomb the first time. It's empty. The stone is rolled away. Something's happened. She knew it as an event. Do you not know that millions of people live like Easter is just an event? Just a historical event. You know, the tomb is empty. The stone's been rolled away. Millions of people live on that shallow level. I know something happened. Something happened in history, and once a year, we make a big deal about it and have fun with that. And then we go on unchanged. That's the level that many people live on. The second level is, I've never heard this preached, and this is the first time I've ever preached it. He showed me that millions of people live on level two, and that is she interacted with Simon Peter, and she interacted with John. She got involved with other spiritual or religious people, and millions of folks in this country and others spend often all of their life hanging around with religious people thinking that's the whole story.
That's it.
I came to preach about the real Easter. I came to preach there's something bigger than a denomination. There's something bigger and more important than a religious affiliation. There's something deeper. There's something more life-changing than just shaking the preacher's hand and signing your name on a membership roll. Come on now, come on now. Give me just a little more, Scott, if you would. Thank you. Somebody give me an amen. Millions live on those two levels. Well, I know that Easter happened. I went by about 8 something, a little after 8, about 8:30. Scioto Downs. I wasn't thinking about it. You know, I just have to look left into the parking lot. And I saw scores and scores and scores and scores of cars. I didn't realize that people even went over there on Sundays, let alone Easter Sunday. But you see, if I could just say it in a real loving way, I'm not saying that to condemn anybody. I don't even know all that's in there. I'm just telling you that I don't need Scioto Downs. All right, God bless you. Every life, every day in my life is a gamble, ladies and gentlemen. I don't need Scioto Downs. But I'm telling you, I found something bigger than that to live for. I was up in the dark on my prayer road because I wanted to say to Jesus in prayer, Happy Easter. Hello. I'm so excited about what's happening in our church. Did you feel the glory of God that came through here today on a holiday Sunday? Anybody feel the Shekinah of God come through here? God is looking for some Marys who will stay, who will hang around Him. Here's the third level. First level, Easter's just an event. Second level, people love to hang around religious people, religious symbols, religious icons, spend all their life feeling religious because they hang around with religious people. Third level, angelic experience. This is how he dealt with me about this. Many folks have had the Lord do something amazing for them. That car wreck that you should have been killed in, but you weren't, and you know there was an angel of God watching. How many of you can raise your hand and think of something that's happened in your life? You've heard me tell the story about a little walk one night in D.C., Washington, D.C., and I didn't know I was walking into a robbery. And 4 men jumped a plainclothes policeman and another man from the bank that were making a night deposit, grabbed the money, and began to fire up the sidewalk. At least 4 times, I was walking into the gunfire as a stupid kid. The man in front of me fell with a bullet hole in his chest. I was much larger than he was. He fell with a bullet hole in his chest, the plainclothes policeman. And as they kept firing up the sidewalk, nothing touched me. It was an angel experience. I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm telling you, there's an angel watching over you. And you have, this is the level that some people live on. Well, he preserved my life. I know I must be right. He did a miracle for me. I know I'm, hey, there's more to the package. God is just trying to show you how real He is. He has spared your life. You got to confess it over and over and over again. Not because He wants that to be your total experience, but because He wants you to have confidence that He is alive and real, and you can approach Him and talk to Him and touch Him. He's looking for some Marys to come back, stand, and stoop. And then the Bible says that she seeth, after she stooped, she seeth the two angels. When we humble ourselves, God opens our eyes and gives us understanding. And you see, you understand, you get stuff that you've never gotten before because you have the grace to stoop. I feel the Holy Ghost in what I'm talking about. Would you lift your hearts to God in sweet praise? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Not because you're perfect. You have rough days, tough days. But His love is unwavering. And He has let you and me have some angel experiences to show us, not to substitute that for a real walk with Him, but to show us how real he is, so that we would call upon him. Because here's the fourth level. First level, Easter's just an event. Second level, hanging around religious people and religious symbols. Third level, I've got some angel experiences. I've got some miracles. God's answered prayer, but we don't stop there. The Bible says that as she continued to stand there and weep, as she knelt and looked and saw the angels, she heard a voice. The angels spoke to her. And then she heard another voice, and she turned, and it was the Master. People who stay, people who humble themselves, people who come back to visit and get more will find him, and that's his ultimate intention. Fourth level, people who hang around until Messiah shows up and calls their name. Come on now. Holy Ghost is here. This would be an awesome day for somebody to recognize, Lord, I know some of this. I got a piece of it. I appreciate what you've done for me in times gone by. But I need to experience you on an intimate level. Not just be touched. It's possible to be touched by God and not changed. That fourth level is people who've made up their mind. I'm going to go back and I'm going to hang around until I see him. Praise God. Brother Escudero is one of my friends. We're supposed to fly out there in a couple weeks and preach their fourth anniversary. He told me he was preaching in a revival a number of years ago. And on a Sunday night, the Holy Ghost quickened his heart and mind to preach on rebellion. He thought, oh, Lord, on Sunday night, that's not a good sermon for Sunday night. Rebellion. Come back tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Our evangelist is preaching on rebellion. But what he didn't know was there was going to be a guy that showed up. A guy who had been so messed up. He was really, really, really messed up. And not only was he that way, physically, he carried the AIDS virus. And my good friend changed subjects, got up and preached on rebellion. And when he did, this young man came down to the altar, right down to the altar, and knelt down and began to weep like a child. He said he cried a puddle. When's the last time you ever prayed like that? He wept, and the Holy Ghost fell on him. And they prayed him through. He began to speak in that language that the Spirit gives. I mean, received his baptism, his resurrection, his Easter in the Holy Ghost. You think God can do that to people that... Can he bless people that don't? Oh, man, none of us deserve his blessing. I know where I would be if I got what I'd do. I'd be in hell right now. Why do I want to run around and hug on people and love? I know what he's done for me. He was so excited. The church rejoiced. He thought, I'm going back and getting some more tests done. That week, he had some more tests done, and they could not find the AIDS virus in his body. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a miracle worker in the house today. There's a miracle worker in the house today. And God doesn't want you to come and just touch base and run on to the next base. He doesn't want you just to see that the tomb is empty. He wants you and me to hang around this place for a little while. It might also be a place at your house, a little prayer room. We've got a room called the prayer room. It might be the family table, the dining room table. I don't know where it is for you. I just know this, that God touches those who slow down and listen. Woo, lift your hair off. Feel the presence of God. We're going to fill this room with worship music, Brother Kitar. We're just going to fill this house with worship. God can bless you and heal you and touch you and give you some more of the package. You got to touch and it's real. You just need to come back and see not only that the tomb is empty, but he who used to occupy it is walking around very much alive. Wanting to call your name. Anybody ever hear of Cleveland Becton? For many years, our general secretary. Very gifted man musically. You remember Brother Becton playing for our conferences? Preaching for our conferences for many years. Play that accordion. Play the organ.
people out there probably saying, what is the accordion? I don't think they even know. But he had an opportunity when he was young, talented, to play for the Stamps Quartet. And he was a music teacher. And God's call was on his life, but he was pushing that call off so he could really enjoy the fame and notoriety of being a part of the Stamps Quartet. And he went to unlock the door one day. Have you ever heard him tell this? I've heard him tell this. Unlock the door to go into his office for the next, was it music lesson or whatever. And as he went to unlock the door, he heard the audible voice of God, Aaron. He heard the audible voice of God say, Cleveland. That's his first name. It's a city in Ohio, but that's also this man's first name.
Right.
And he looked around and there was nobody there. The audible voice of God. And he knew immediately what the deal was. He knew about Pentecost. He knew about this experience, baptism in Jesus' name, repentance, Holy Ghost. He knew all about it. He knew the tomb was empty. He just took off and didn't hang around long enough for it to change him. That was a turning point. Big doors swing on small hinges. Sometimes God in his mercy gives you and me a hinge event. Something that seems so small. But as we look back, we realize big doors opened or closed on the hinge of that one experience. As we bow our heads. Oh, great God. I'm asking you to give us courage, Lord. To walk down here for a few moments. I know there's dinners waiting and all kinds of good stuff planned. And we just thank you for wonderful fellowship and great families and all the great stuff that we enjoy at special times. But oh God, wouldn't it be something if we could hear your voice, the same voice that said Mary would call ours, would call our name out. The same voice that said Cleveland. Brother Becton got down on his knees in his office and prayed back through to a fresh experience. Just hung around the presence of God. And that was the launching of his ministry. He was always anointed and he was always talented and musical, but he'd let that be the central thing in his life instead of his calling. That was the beginning of his ministry of power, preaching, evangelism, and pastoring. Dear Jesus, I'm asking you to touch us right now. Brother Dinkins, I want you to come and stand by me because I know you're a sensitive man of God. I know the Lord uses you. I know you're a praying man. I want you to pray over every heart today that before we leave here that somehow we would let God touch us. Really minister to us.
Lord, we just thank you, God, for your words today, God. Lord, this is a great day that we celebrate your resurrection, Lord God. Lord, where you restore us, Lord God, because of your resurrection, Lord Jesus. You have given us the opportunity to worship you and to praise you today. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to be with us and just to minister to us tonight, today. God, let us not leave here today, Lord God, unless we know in our hearts that we are right with you. Lord, that we are waiting for you, Lord God, stooping down, just waiting for you to speak our names, to minister to us, Lord God. You have called each and every one of us as here today, Lord God. Lord, now we just ask that you just let us be sensitive to hear you call our names, to understand, Lord, you have a greater work for us, a great things you want us to do for you, Lord Jesus. I ask you to continue to minister to the hearts that are here today, God. We thank you for everyone that's in attendance to hear you speak, Lord God. We lift you up and magnify you. And we give you glory and honor today. Lord, we want to be sensitive to what you desire to do. Lord, that would be on your timetable and not our own, Lord God. Lord, that you just minister right now, Lord God, drawing on hearts. You're speaking to souls right now, Lord Jesus. You're drawing on them, Lord. They may be confused or not wondering what to do next, Lord. But Lord, I believe they step out in faith with you, Lord. You will guide them the rest of the way. You will direct them in what they need to do, Lord God. Lord, how they can have peace in their life through you, Jesus. They can overcome any situation that comes upon them through you, Lord Jesus. Ask you, God, just to minister to our hearts right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I think it'd be so appropriate for us to come and stand real quick as we wrap this service up. I'd like you to join me down here just for a couple minutes. Thank you for that beautiful prayer, Brother Dinkins. What a grand day this has been. We've been ministered to by our children, by our young people. We have been blessed in the Holy Ghost in our worship service. And I believe the Word of God has spoken to us. Would you lift your hand if you feel like the Word spoke to you in some way? Oh, He's calling for us. Let's lift our hearts and hands for a few moments around this altar. Let this be the best Easter, Lord, that we have ever had. Empty tombs, full hearts, brokenness.
Open our eyes, Lord.
If I can just stoop down, I'll see. I'll be able to see and
we
understand.
We want to see Jesus.
If I can just stoop a little in prayer, just bow a little in prayer. Just
open our eyes, Lord.